Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 388 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
Hey, Michael. Hey, Nick. We're going to talk about some interesting facts today. We have questions. Some other people have answers. And by other people, I mean you two, because you are other people that are not me.
That is correct.
I'm following so far.
Yes, I've had one glass of wine, so I know it's not the drunk cast, but...
Honestly, we're all drinking and we're doing a podcast, so we're a little bit early. We're about 3 months early, but screw it. Let's go.
Well, with the podcast, we do have that head start before record. At least this is everybody's still first drink, so.
Yeah, that's a good positive way of looking at it, Michael. And therefore, I would like you to kick us off on this fact quest, if you will.
Wonderful. Well, I like nothing else except for my whiskey glass to be half full. So, I found what I believe is the most exclusive bar in the world.
The okay. most exclusive bar? Yes. Okay. I've been there, I think.
Is that so?
No, I have absolutely not been
there. They asked me to come, and I told them that I'm too important.
Yeah, Nick, if after all this you could set up trivia here, I would be stunned.
Uh-huh.
It is the Yeoman's Warders Club. Or the Keys, depending on who you ask,
okay.
is a non-public bar in the Tower of London in England.
Wow. I've been to the Tower of London.
Yes. So it is a non-public bar that is only they only allow the Yeoman Warders, who are okay. the guards of the Tower of London.
Oh, okay. So just the guards went. At first, I was like, man, that sounds like something men are only going to be allowed to be at. And I was right.
I don't know that for certain. I don't know if all the guards of the Tower of London are men. I don't know that.
We shall find out. But okay, Michael, what's your fact about this bar?
So my question is this. How many people have access to this bar?
So how many guards are at the Tower of London?
Essentially, how many total guards are at the Tower of London? And this is as of 2020.
The first woman to ever hold the position as a guard at the Tower of London was 2007. So Mariah Cameron, 2007. So one of the 35 resident warders. Oh, was that the answer to your question, 35? Did I accidentally?
It was not 35.
Okay. I was like, it was one of the 35 resident warders at the Tower of London. I was like, did I accidentally Google? No. I didn't mean to cheat.
That was at the time. That was at the time, if that helps.
Okay. I was like, did I accidentally cheat? Is it still count as cheating if you do it accidentally?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought. But I didn't know these were steroids.
Yeah. Wow. If Learned League has taught me anything, it's that if you accidentally do anything, it's still cheating.
Yes.
Okay. So we know the answer is not 35, Nick. So we have correct. Infinity minus one options.
Right. That's a non-infinite number.
I disagree. I'm pretty sure infinity minus one is still infinity. Infinity.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's right too.
I took a was it philosophy class? I think it was that I learned infinity.
Should be a math class.
Sure wasn't math. I guarantee it wasn't.
If you have infinite trolleys and infinite people, where are you going to put your trolleys to run them over? We don't know.
Right.
Okay.
All right. So. How big is the Tower of London? When I was there, so there's two guards at the front.
I went to the changing of the guards. That was a big thing that we like.
That's at Buckingham Palace.
No, they did a change. They do a changing of the guards, Tower of London.
Oh, do they? Oh, okay. Yeah. I wasn't there for that. All right. So
you're like, no, that thing didn't happen that you were at.
I was there and it didn't happen. Therefore, it can't possibly exist. All right, so there's two at the gate. There's two up by the whatchamacallit, the crown jewels. No, there's four.
Yeah,
up
the
there.
Crown jewels are there. I don't feel like the bar is near the crown jewels, right?
Probably. Well,
it is not. So yeah. Actually, the reason for the exclusive bar is one, they're colloquially known as beef eaters, in case you're curious.
Right from the gin.
I thought you were gonna ask what's served at the bar, and that would have been my answer. Yeah.
Oh no, they have a lot of stuff, including specialty cocktails, unique cocktails. But they generally live at the tower along with their families, which is why there's a dedicated bar to them there.
Okay. So we've got the four on the jewels. We've got the two on the gate. That's six. I think there's two on the rear gate. Is eight. And there's an east gate, but no west gate, because the west gate's on the river, right? So that's 10. So call it 10 in the field and then 10 in the camera room.
The camera room, do they count as people that go to the exclusive bar?
Yeah, you're still a guard, even if you work on the camera room. So that's,
I'd imagine
that's,
there's a rotation set up.
Right. So that's 20. And they all live there. So that's a lot. And their families. So if there's 20 guards and their families.
I still want to say 35, even though I know that that's wrong.
there's like, literally an infinite amount of numbers except for 35. And that's what you want to answer.
All I want to go to.
Okay. So that is 20 plus the average family of whatever, three more people. That's 80 people all living at the Tower of London. That's a lot.
So the full title is Yeoman Warders of Her Royal Majesty's Royal Palace and Fortress, the Tower of London.
So okay. Nick, what's your answer?
I'm going to say 20 plus the captain of the guard is 21 plus does the queen count? I assume the queen is allowed into the bar, so I'm going to say 22.
I don't believe so.
As the head of the military, the queen is allowed in the bar, so 22.
I don't think you're turning her away at the door if she shows up. But I think under the rules, I don't believe she is a member of her own guard.
Okay. Well, if that's...
And therefore wouldn't be a member.
If that's the case, then I'll say 10 in the field, 10 in the camera room, and the captain of the guard. So that is 21.
Cool. Michael just did a strong head nod for those of you that can't see us, which is everyone because you're listening to this on an audio file.
I was going to wait for Lindsay, but okay.
Yeah, he was doing a strong head. Well, I was just nervous you were going to say that Nick got it right.
Oh, not at all.
So, okay. Well, I think I'm going to go the other way. Well, yes. No, I'm going to stick with my gut. I think it's super exclusive. I think that from what I remember of the Tower of London, it's been many, many years since I've been there, but it's much smaller than what you would think. And I don't think that there's a lot of rooms for residents there. So I think that it's super duper small. And I think it's only going to be like 12 people that are allowed to go into this bar. So I'm going to say 12.
Okay. You're both under.
Okay.
Under. Okay.
Lindsay, your cheating guess was actually very close.
35.
Oh. 35. According to this, as of beginning of August 2020, 37 yeomen warders and one chief warder.
Oh, so there's a captain of the guard.
There is a captain. So
there's always a captain of the guard.
Now, but in this case, it is. It says 37 that the pub specifically belongs to the Beefeaters.
You know what, Michael? It's funny, Lindsay. You said you hadn't been there in a while, and Michael, this is an incredible question given today's date. I was in the Tower of London 1 year ago today.
Oh, is that right?
This was my trip. My trip to London was a year ago today.
Eerie.
And the 20th was the day we did the tour of the Tower of London. So it's exactly 1 year ago today that I was standing there.
So a couple quick notes. The pub does offer several unique drinks, including a Beef Eater Bitter. And a Yeoman 1485 beers, 1485 referring to the founding of the Beefeaters. And as you guys have already joked, copious amounts of Beefeater gin.
Yes, that's almost necessary.
Yeah, mandatory, I feel like.
It is often made accessible to the public during the Open House London.
Mm. Does it say what their hours are? When is it in operation?
It does not. I'm going to link to the Business Insider article that I found, but I don't see an hours of operation.
Dang it, Michael. I thought you were prepared.
Oh, I'm very prepared.
Oh, I know. You did great. I'm sorry that I threw you the random follow-up question that is just my weird sense of curiosity. There's no way to anticipate that, and I apologize.
No reason to apologize. It's what makes the podcast great.
Yeah. So, Nick, do you have a segue from Beefeaters Tower of London to your fact, or do you need me to make a very aggressive stretch?
So, speaking of Beefeaters and heads and the Queen, you know, who they protect, and the Queen being a head of state, another head of state is the President of the United States.
Yeah.
You are correct.
Or her.
Yeah, we have had 44 people have been president of the United States in this country to this point. Spoiler alert, I know, Lindsay, that's dating the podcast.
this episode will air before November, so we'll be okay.
So there are a ton of presidential firsts, right? So George Washington's first president, John Adams, the first president to live in the White House, and everything that happened for the first time when somebody was there is the first for a presidential. So all the way up to Obama, there have been, you know, Obama made presidential firsts left and right. And Trump, I guess, has made a president. I don't actually know if Trump has, but
he has. But I don't want to get into it on this podcast because I feel like people have been inundated with a lot of things that he's done first. That's for yeah. that.
So my question is about presidential travel. Who was the first president to travel outside of the United States while in office?
George Washington.
Incorrect.
Oh, because you said while in office.
In office, yes.
I was like, well, you know, the U.S. Like, dang. The one I always go to that I like to stump people with is who was the first American-born president? And people like to lose their minds arguing with me about that. I'm like, no, America existed for a, you know, defined right. time. And this person was born in that time.
It's Adams, right?
Martin Van Buren.
Martin Van Buren. Okay. I thought it was John Quincy Adams.
Nope. You're close. He's six. Van Buren's eighth. So yeah, but I don't know. That's a bonus fact for you. Cause again, I'm delaying because I don't know this answer outright. And whenever it's a US presidential history fact, and I don't know it outright, I get mad.
Yeah.
So Michael, what are you thinking? We know Thomas Jefferson was Secretary of State. We know that he was in France during much of the Revolution, but I don't know if he ever went back to France while he was president. I doubt it.
That's what I was thinking as well.
Those trips take so long when you're on boat.
And I'm pretty sure by the time he was elected, wasn't France in revolution by then?
Yeah, not going back.
So probably not the best. I imagine a lot of the people he socialized with were, you know,
busy
already. Busy. Otherwise occupied. Lindsay, I think you were talking on the string that I was, which is it has to be a point where travel got at least a little bit faster, where the president of the United States couldn't be gone for weeks to months at a time.
Well, unless it's something as simple as going to Canada or going to Mexico, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're close by. Well, not really close, though, because you figure going across, you know, the country and all the way up there, well, I mean, ooh, that's a lot.
But you got to figure, though, how much of that, okay, so was the question specifically to a different country or leaving the country?
Travel internationally.
Okay, because you got to figure those 13 colonies originally, getting just west of that wouldn't have been entirely too tough.
Yeah. So Michael, what do you think for a guess? Like, what era are you even thinking? Like, was it one of the early founding fathers guys, or was it way after that?
So my gut reaction, and I've, especially on this podcast, I've learned to trust my gut reaction, is to say Jefferson, because of his relationship with France. And what I know about him trying to learn wine. So I'm wondering if he did a little bit of international travel, trying to figure out how to get wine into Monticello. So I'm going to go with Jefferson, but I think I'm early.
All right. Okay. I'm going to throw this out here, Nick, but I'm going to go William Henry Harrison. 1 month, you know, plenty of time to travel.
Right. You're really getting the, you're opening the, both ends to the largest possible time frame.
Yeah, the amount of his presidency was about as long as I take to think about my answers, and that is very short.
Yes.
No, I'm kidding. He's not actually what I'm going to say. I think, though, it was after Harrison. I don't like my original founding father's guess, because I feel like they're most of the answers to these questions. So I'm going to go with Polk.
Polk.
The 11th president. I feel like he did a lot of stuff. One term guy. He was like, hey, I'm going to do these four things. He did those four things and then he peaced out.
Yep.
I think I got to go with Polk. He's not an answer to a lot of trivia questions, and maybe he should be.
You know, Lindsay, as a real quick aside, what makes me feel just absolutely as dumb as I can possibly feel I have a history.com website up here with my fact and all of the associated follow-up questions. And like, I've got a notepad here with the information for I know what I get about. And at the bottom of the page is an ad for other articles on the history.com website. And the very first article that they are promoting is who was the first president born an American citizen, with a giant picture of Martin Van Buren on it. And at no point did I look at that when you asked that question. And then you know what, Michael, the next one is what happened to Marie Antoinette's children. So speaking of French Revolution, there you go.
The guillotine connects us all.
Yeah.
You sure those didn't update and just it's your computer listening to the podcast?
Listening to what we're talking about. Yeah, it's super robots. Creepy.
Did you mean this?
All right. So Lindsay said Polk and Michael said Jefferson. You are both extremely early.
Extremely oh, really? Early.
Yes.
I thought that Polk like would hop over to Mexico. So you're talking extremely early. But I guess, yeah, they both were way obviously before Lincoln. Yep. Well, yeah. Did Lincoln go to the Confederacy? Does that count? Like Lincoln made a weekend trip to Richmond.
But, so, yep. Yeah. Funny enough, Lincoln did not travel into enemy occupied territory during his presidency.
You know, during the war. I mean, this is obviously a joke because obviously the Confederacy was not a real country and Lincoln wasn't going to go there. But I wouldn't hold it against, like, I wouldn't hold it what's against you or for you. What's the phrase?
It depends on which way you're going.
I'm saying that I would expect you to have a trick, stupid question like that. So I would hold it against you.
You would hold it against me. Yes. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, no, we don't do that here at City Trivia. We do not do trick questions. We do ridiculous questions, but not trick questions.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Do you want me to give you your answer first, or do you want me to give you a couple of other presidential firsts?
No, I would do another guess.
I would like to throw out my guess when I don't know anything and say Taft.
Okay.
Okay.
And I do.
I would
let's
to throw
let Lindsay
out
give
one.
A second guess.
No, shoot. See, I keep tripping me up is the in-office part, right? Because I was going through like military history and thinking about Teddy Roosevelt fighting. And so he's in, you know, in San Juan, Puerto Rico. And like, that's where my brain was Teddy. But obviously that's not your question. So I get it. So there's a lot of people before that were in Mexico, you know? So I'm going to just go with Woodrow Wilson. He's got his 14 points. It is super after where I said with Polk. So I'll give it 100-year difference there. I'm gonna go with Woodrow Wilson.
All right. So Woodrow Wilson was the first sitting U.S. president to travel to Europe when he sailed to France in December of 1918 for a World War I peace conference. Taft was the second president to travel internationally in 1909. He made the first U.S. presidential visit to Mexico. Okay. In 1923, Warren Harding was the first person to visit Canada when he went to Vancouver.
Man, Michael, we were so wrong. Like, obviously, these people aren't going to travel however long. Like, it's
internationally,
so far.
I didn't think Jefferson was going back to Paris, but like, I thought maybe he'd go west a little bit.
Yeah, not so much. Franklin Roosevelt was the first American president to set foot in Russia. Also, the first American president to travel to a foreign country via airplane. Which, by the way, he flew commercial.
Naturally.
A year later, the country bought the first presidential airplane. But the first presidential trip was a commercial flight. A couple of other ones.
Secret
Eisenhower.
Service, I'm sure, was thrilled.
Oh yeah, that sounds like a really great idea. Let's put him in a giant metal tube and throw him through the sky. That seems like an easy thing to protect him from.
With other people.
Yeah. A couple of other pieces. Eisenhower was the first to make the trip to India. Nixon was the first to China. Ford was the first to Japan. Carter was the first to sub-Saharan Africa when he went to Nigeria in 1978. But the first president to travel internationally, Lindsay, Teddy Roosevelt.
Wow.
In 1906, Teddy Roosevelt visited Panama to view the construction of the Panama Canal, of which he was a huge champion.
Oh, that's so
Did not even
obvious.
Consider the Panama Canal.
Oh, I'm so angry. I knew about Teddy Roosevelt visiting the Panama Canal. I knew that in my brain.
And somewhere in the deep recesses of my brain, I knew that was the first international presidential trip.
Oh, I knew that. I read an article about that. Not recently, obviously, but I'm so angry at present Lindsay for not remembering past Lindsay's digestion of information. You got to keep
this. Why I didn't study in school, because I'm not going to remember it anyway.
And you can just look it up as long as that's not against the rules.
Temple's going to take away my history degree.
Right. And Michael, who was the president immediately after Roosevelt?
Taft.
That is correct. So Taft, if you had guessed Taft, you would have been super close.
Closer than Jefferson, for sure. Yes. So, have either of you been to the Panama Canal?
I have not. The furthest south I've been in the Western Hemisphere is Costa Rica. I don't think I've been south of that.
Dang. Well, Nick, I'm mad. This past month, I've been stumped on presidential history trivia, and it's upsetting to me. That was kind of my wheelhouse, you know? I can't call it my wheelhouse anymore. I don't even have a wheelhouse. I know nothing. But
right. All right. So, Lindsay, do you have an easy transition from that, or should I throw in my bonus fact, which is something that's super interesting that I could not turn into a question, but I have to tell you about?
Tell me about it, and we'll see what happens.
Okay. There is a author... artist named Ben Denzer, and we'll put this link in the link dump, and he makes books.
Oh,
okay. And his books, he was born in 1992, so how old does that make him?
27.
Okay, so he's in his late 20s, and he is I'm gonna call him an artist because there's no way these are actually books, but he makes books out of stuff. And according to his website and these different press releases that I'm reading, his books have become huge collector's items at university libraries, right? They're only ever like 5 or 6 or 10 editions in a run for a book. And Lindsay, I feel like this is right up your alley. So the most popular book that he has is a book called 20 Slices. And it is a book that is 20 pages long and made entirely of American cheese.
Yep. That's the type of book I want to read.
Yeah. So there's no words. It's just 20 slices of American cheese in a cover.
I'm all about it. I like cheese.
It's not a fireside book.
Yeah. So he's in 2018, he's got his book 15 Mass Market Paperbacks, which is just 15... romance novels under the same cover. He's got his pack of 20 sweeteners, which is 20 Splenda packets in a book cover. I was looking for interesting facts, and I came across this guy, and I need to have one of his books. 30 napkins from the from the Plaza Hotel.
Easily make your own book of that. So. Yep. You can just, you know, I think that you could pretend pretty easily.
Probably. But that's a 200 fortunes. It's just 200 fortune cookie fortunes in a cover.
One of them has to break then, I suppose. Yep.
192 $1 bills in serial number order.
Okay, that is pretty impressive. That is super impressive to get that many bills together. He had to do that late, like when he was asking people online to send it, because there's too much money. I guess you just go to the printing.
Yeah, you probably just get them in a run from a bank.
Yeah, I guess if you get a bank run or something.
Yeah,
it's like out and about trying to collect. Like if I said, hey, I want to get 10 digits of bills in a row, that's impossible.
No, I don't think so. If you get so one of the funny things is I actually have a lot of experience getting large quantities of $1 bills at the same time. I don't know if you can believe that or not.
For the record, this is for our trivia finals event where we give away $5,000 in cash in some places, you know, thousands of dollars around all over. And that's where Nick gets his $1 bills, just to be clear.
Also, I'm a male stripper.
Oh, yeah.
Or as we like to call them, the good old days.
Yeah. So, usually when we get those runs and they're in like the vacuum sealed packages, they are in serial number order. So it's not that hard to grab them. So that's all good. Right, but
right. But I'm saying if I just took a bill out of my wallet and I said I want to get the serial numbers in order.
Never happen.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that would never happen.
Your fact does not lend me into a good transition, Nick.
He's got a book called Inflatable Book Jacket, which is just a romance novel in a inflatable cover.
Okay, inflatable. Here we go. Things that are inflatable.
Uh-huh. Now we're getting interesting.
Boats, inflatable. You can have an inflatable boat. You have an inflatable life jacket, perhaps, if you're on an airplane. You need those things to float because in the ocean, there is water. And if you do not float or swim, you're going to sink.
You're going to sink. Yeah.
Yeah. So my fact is about something that does not sink because it, in fact, swims. And that, my friends, is the calf of a blue whale. So we're going to talk about baby blue whales.
Yeah.
Every week I wonder how she's going to do it again. Mm-hmm. And every week I will sit here and go, I wasn't sure she was going to get there.
But she did.
And I was wrong.
Damned if she didn't.
Yeah, always. Michael, what did you just say? You said I was wrong?
I don't know what you're saying. We're going to have to go back to the table.
Lindsay, I believe that is our secret phrase. Michael is wrong.
Yeah, Michael is wrong. That's the secret phrase. Right. Michael is wrong. And maybe he will still be wrong about my fact, but Michael is wrong is the secret phrase today. So we recently last week hosted a Explorer Trivia Night with National Geographic. I always cheat because I do a lot of research for these questions with these explorers. Last week we had Brian Scarry, an underwater photographer, and Asha DeVos, who is a marine biologist in Sri Lanka. And she studied a lot specifically about blue whales, the largest creature that ever existed period on Earth. These things are huge. And I don't think we can grasp the real size of a blue whale. So I wanted to know, how much weight in pounds, approximately, this is according to National Geographic, how much weight in pounds does a blue whale calf gain every day in its first year? So approximately how many pounds of weight does a blue whale calf gain in weight every year? In its first year every day. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get it. All right, so Michael, feed me a couple of numbers here. How much does a blue whale weigh? Don't think about it. Just throw out a number.
3 tons. 6,000 pounds.
3 tons. It weighs 6,000 pounds. Okay, how much does a baby weigh?
Baby weighs 1 pound.
Baby weighs 1 pound when it's born. Okay.
Oh, I'm just throwing numbers.
This is totally fine. Okay, so that means between a birthday and full adulthood, that's 5,999 pounds that a blue whale has to gain. All right, so, Michael, how big does a blue whale calf get by the end of the first year? What percentage towards adulthood do they achieve?
You still want me throwing numbers?
Yeah, throw me. Kidding me. Stop thinking. Just go.
900 pounds.
No, don't give me poundage. Give me a percentage. What percentage towards adulthood do they reach?
30%.
30% towards adulthood. All right, so 30% of 599 is 1,800 pounds. So the calf goes from 1 pound to 1,800 pounds in its first year. So 1,800 pounds divided by 365 days is 5 pounds a day. So Lindsay, Michael's answer is 5 pounds a day.
I'll take it. I am not even kidding, because that's a lot better than I would have done on my own.
All right, I'm going in a totally different direction. I think that a blue whale weighs probably closer to 100 to 200 tons, somewhere in that general vicinity. So I might as well split the difference and call it 150 tons, which is 300,000 pounds. I'm going to say a baby blue whale is like 50,000 pounds, like 1/6 of that. And I'm going to say they get probably like 75% of the way there. So 75% of the way minus the original birth weight of 50,000 pounds is 175,000 pounds divided by 365 is 500 pounds a day.
Okay. Both of you guys.
Hang on. I was going to actually throw out a real guess. I was going to say 50 pounds a day.
50 pounds a day. Okay. So your logic was sound in how you did those calculations. So an adult blue whale can weigh anywhere from 110,000 to 330,000 pounds. And if you're right on with the adult weight of a blue whale, I mean, these things are absolutely massive. Obviously, it's the largest animal on Earth that's ever existed. And it's kind of cool that we're living at the same time that the largest animal that ever existed also exists. So take that.
And if they ever had thumbs, we'd be screwed.
Yeah.
Right?
take that Jurassic era, like take that. So babies, when they are born, weigh about 5,000 to 6,000 pounds. So blue whale calves, when they're born, 5,000 to 6,000 pounds. And in its first year of life, it gains 200 pounds every day for its first year. So every single day, that calf, it's gorging just on its mother's milk, 200 pounds every
day. A day. How many krill do blue whales have to eat in order to produce enough milk to support 200 pounds of growth a day in a baby calf?
Funny you should ask that. The adult blue whale actually consumes 4 tons of krill every single day. 4 tons of krill every single day.
How are krill not extinct?
Yeah, because they're found in every single ocean. We get so much of our oxygen and so much. I went on this big ocean kick, I'm telling you, from the ocean. But krill are found in every single one of the 5 ocean basins. And here's my bonus fact for you guys. That we asked this at Nat Geo Night, which I think you both couldn't attend, sadly. But you're going to watch the video later once it's posted.
Oh, yeah.
What color is the poop of a blue whale?
Green.
Green.
That is incorrect.
Blue?
No.
That's 2 on the nose.
Black,
no, brown, red. Orange.
It is bright red.
Hey, I got it.
It's like the color of my tank top. I've seen a lot of pictures about blue whale. I asked Asha a lot of questions about blue whale poop that led to her eureka moment and how she got into this specific study of blue whales in Sri Lanka. But bright red color of blue whale poop. And they poop a lot. Because, you know, when you're eating 4 tons of krill a day, it's a lot. And that's what gives it the color, obviously, the color of the
krill. Right, the color of the krill.
The color of the poop.
So yeah. I think what we've learned here today is that Michael's answer of 5 was closer to the correct answer without going over than my answer of 500. So Michael was right. And if only we hadn't already picked our secret phrase, that would have made a great secret phrase. But we've already picked it. So
I also feel like I would have been closer if Lindsay wasn't allowed to consult with experts.
Okay, for the record, I did not ask the question about the baby calf weight. I came across that in my research and I tucked it aside for this podcast. But my friends, we are way over time. So we hope that you enjoyed learning about presidents, blue whales. And honestly, Michael, your fact was so long ago, I forgot what it was. Oh, the secret bar. Secret bar. Blue whales, presidents. This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
We don't know either.
Bye.